Matthew asked me this morning at breakfast, so if my thoughts seem scattered, they are, but I have three little pegs to put them on. One is miracle, second is rebel, and the third is choice. Have you ever seen a miracle?
Yes.
Yes. If you're on this way of faith, you've seen a miracle. I heard someone say, I'd like to see miracles again, like, you know, the parting of the Red Sea. Have you seen a miracle like that? Have you? Now, you'd like to see it, won't you? I'd like to see it. Wow. Be part of the children of Israel and walk through the Red Sea. Not Cecil D. DeMille, but actually do that. You know, God still does things like that today. He does things like that in the Church of Jesus Christ. And you can be part of it. You can be part of it. Yes, miracles have happened in my life. One happened quite a while ago. You know, I've been a missionary to India. Anybody have any idea what kind of country India is? Poor, did I hear poor? Very rich too. It's just that it's divided. Tremendously rich. It's richer, it's getting richer than the United States is right now. Okay, anything else about India? I'm hard of hearing. It's overpopulated, yeah. Yeah, one of the things that hits you right away when you get to India is all the people. All the people, yeah.
It's hot.
It's hot. You can say that. Whew! I'm sleeping under a mosquito net, and the fan is above it. It's not penetrating through the net too well, and I was sleeping, right? And I'm dreaming of diving into Brant Lake. It's hot, yeah. It's also very anti-Christian. It's supposed to be a secular country, but the country is run pretty much by Hindus. So how does a Christian get into a country like that? Because God has people there he wants to save. How does a missionary get into a country like that? God has to perform a miracle, doesn't he? Missionaries don't go there now. God has raised up the Indian church and they're doing the work. And it was here in Pilgrim Camp that miracle started to take place. Well, it started a little bit before that, but I'll tell you that too. And God had called me to India. I knew I was to go there. I didn't know how. I had applied, and they had said no. But I knew I was to go there. And God had worked something in my life, which I'll have to pick up a little after this, that put me in a position of faith. And I said, who's in charge of this world anyhow? The Indian government or the Father in heaven who controls all nations? And even though they said no, in my heart I knew God was in charge. And he had worked that faith. Now that's easy to say, but to work it in, I'll tell you that story too. And it was in this place on a Labor Day weekend in 73, that everyone prayed. Put me in the middle. How do you like to be put in the middle one time and have everyone lay your hand? All the ministers lay their hands on you and pray for you. Wow. But that's the church in operation. We belong to each other and we need to pray for each other and to ask God to work out his purposes and will in each other's life. And that's what they did. And while I was sitting there, verses came to me from Isaiah where he says, in Isaiah 43, I will open before you the two leaf gates and the gates shall not be shut. That was in God's word. You can look it up. I didn't even know where to find it. I asked Brother Walter Fetty, who was the minister at that time, and he told me the reference. At the end of that month, the missionary who was asking me to come and join them met with the Home Minister of India, who is the man in charge of visas as well as other things, and sat before him. That was miracle number three, actually, in the line. And when he heard about my willingness to come, he said, yes, she can come. Who was he? He had been put into that job just a month before, and he was a Christian. The people prayed here. God moved in India and put that man into that position. When my application came before him, he said yes. He was in that job three more months and moved out of it. Will God move heaven and earth if you're willing to do his will? For you, he will. But the first miracle happened in my heart. And that's where miracles happen. Greater perhaps than even opening India. Because when God told me, when the Lord whispered into my soul, I want you there, I said, India. I don't want to go to India. Would you? And I think, you know, all of us, or maybe not, you all look so compliant. You all look so agreeable here. But perhaps you're rebels too, like I am. Perhaps in your heart you say, you know, it really is tough. I really don't like this, God. Maybe you're like me. I'm speaking to you. If you're not, you can cool out for a little while, right? But sometimes God's way is hard. And it doesn't seem easy at all. And in my heart, I knew I didn't want to go there. All right, we'll leave it. So we left it. And I went on living my Christian life. And about a year went by, and I'm checking in with the Lord, and I'm saying, hey, Lord, we're not going anyplace. And he said, you said no. Okay. But my heart is saying no. I can't change my heart. And then I made a choice. I said, Lord, I give you my heart. If you can change it, I'll go. That was hard to do. Do you ever find it hard? But if you will choose. After all, I use this as a scripture reference for what I'm saying here. It's Deuteronomy 30. Maybe I'm like Moses a little bit. I don't know. This is the end of his days. That's not the end of mine yet. I got a ways to go. But he's saying, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that, I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, that the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go. That's the 16th verse of Deuteronomy 30. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over to, which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness today against you that I have set before you life and death. There was a time when the Jesus spoke to his disciples, or they said, and everybody was leaving Jesus because it seemed hard. It seemed so hard what he was saying. So hard to follow his way. And he said to his disciples, will you leave me too? Following Jesus is not easy. It means a cross. But he has life. He offers life. And they said, where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. And so I encourage you this morning, put your heart before the Lord. He does have life. He offers you life. He might not send you as a missionary to India, but maybe he will. Or someplace else. The world's still out there, needing to hear his gospel, needing to hear his salvation. Put your heart before him and say, Lord, change my heart. Change my heart, Lord. I do want you. I don't want to lose you, Jesus. You have life. You taste good. Have you tasted Jesus is good? You taste wonderful. I want that. Change my heart. And the greater miracle, perhaps, than opening the door of India is that he changed my heart. It took a while. I had to keep seeking the Lord. And I don't know quite how he did it, but he did. And he made me so eager to go that I knew when they told me no, that he had performed a miracle so great that they would have to say yes. And they did. As I told you in the beginning, that man was put into that, after that prayer. And see, it doesn't happen by yourself. You're part of a body. As Brother Keith said, you're part of others who are following the Lord too. And that's a tremendous thing, to realize that we belong to each other. Whether you like it or not, I belong to you and you belong to me. And we're all following on because we have before us an eternal inheritance. You know one story in the Bible that Jesus told I don't like very well? It was about the Lazarus, the leper, who sat at the rich man's gate. You know that one, don't you? And the rich man never said the crumbs that were left, even he tossed out to him. But Lazarus had faith. And when he died, where did he go? He went to heaven. He had eternity before him. He was where? The rich man wanted to be, but he didn't go there. And I always thought, that's a pretty poor comparison. Who wants to live like a Lazarus, the leper on this earth? I don't. You don't either. But who wants to live in hell? I don't. You don't either. But that doesn't mean to say that our lives will be like Lazarus. He has life for us. He has prosperity for us. Prosperous in him. But I think he wanted to make the contrast very strong, because there are some Christians in this world today that have to suffer as hard, as difficult a life as Lazarus. But even if you have to live a miserable life, and that's not what is before you, the reward of being with Jesus forever and ever outweighs any kind of misery you could have here. And so choose him. Put your heart before him today. And as it says here, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him. Jesus is the greatest truth. Brother Keith said before, there's a place of truth. Jesus is the greatest truth in this world and in this life. He stands for what is true. And when everything gets confusing on in this world and you can't figure it out, cling to Jesus. He'll show you the way through. Choose him. He'll change your heart. He'll make you willing to do the things that are hard. Not everything is hard. Some things are easy. It was easy then when he changed my heart. It was tremendously victorious, joyful. And God brought me through a path that seemed so hard. He gives you that power, that courage, the faith to walk with him.